Hello and welcome to the Business Analysis Conference. This is Judy Rees and I'm here with Nick DeVoyle.
Hello, Judy.
Hello. Tell me about what you do.
I run a company called DeVoyle Consulting, which puts people's businesses on the web for them, to cut a long story short. So we build web applications for people, database systems, any kind of IT system that is involved with helping people to collaborate and get work done effectively.
And what kind of companies have you worked with?
We've done a bit of work in the UK public sector, well, a lot of work, in fact. We've also done a lot of work in the financial sector with investment banks, but also with a lot of internet startups in all sorts of areas, publishing, education, and so on.
And what are you going to be talking about at the Business Analysis Conference?
Let me see if I can remember the title. Well, it's to do with user-centred design and user-centred analysis, participatory design and analysis. I was interested to try and find a subject which would bring together my interest in traditional systems analysis that a lot of business analysts are involved with, and the interest I've been developing more recently in human-computer interaction and all the techniques that have been developed by people in that area.
So that's quite a new field and quite exciting, I think.
Well, yes, it is, and I think there's a lot that the people in the two different areas can learn from each other, so that's what I'm hoping to cover a little bit of.
Mm-hmm. How did you sort of get involved in that side of things rather than the traditional analysis?
Well, I've always been interested in the people side of software development. I've been working in IT systems since the mid-1980s, so in those days everything was done in the traditional data processing way, very machine-oriented, very technically oriented methods of systems analysis. But I've always felt that those types of methods for developing systems left a lot to be desired. Specifically, they left out the human element in all sorts of ways. They left out the human element of projects, and they left out the human element of interfaces, and the human element of systems in general.
And what's the result of that?
The result of that is systems that are hard to use, that people reject, won't use, systems that don't help people to do their work effectively or to do other things effectively, because of course these days information technology is not just to do with people's work, it's in every aspect of people's lives.
So when you do add the human element, then what happens?
Well, things become much more fun. Projects become much more fun, which is nice for me, doing IT projects. Users get much more interested in what the system is going to do, which inevitably and always means that the system ends up doing something more helpful for them. And it always means that the system is generally a more pleasant experience and a more usable experience.
So are these user-centred techniques difficult for traditional analysts to learn?
The techniques are not difficult at all, because the techniques that IT people have been learning and using for decades are quite difficult techniques. Things like entity modelling, data flow diagramming, UML, all sorts of analysis techniques are really quite difficult to learn to do effectively and well. And that's, of course, besides the difficulty that there is in learning things like programming languages, which is not a piece of cake. So, in terms of technical difficulty, absolutely not. In fact, the common reaction of a person with a systems or an IT background when they're faced with this these techniques is, well, so what? Where's the beef? Where's the intricate technical detail here? This can't possibly be a technique because there's no complexity in it. So that's the difficulty, really. It's a change of mindset. That's what's difficult. But no, I mean, a lot of people that I've worked with have really, really, even though they come from a technical background, they've really loved using these types of techniques.
And that mindset change, what's that like? I presume that you had to go through that change of mindset yourself.
Yes, well, I had to go through a change of mindset when I started work as an IT professional. Mm. Because in those days it involved shedding quite a lot of your humanity and learning to think like a robot and traditional project management attitudes contribute to that. There's the whole mentality that was prevalent in business, let alone IT, in the 1960s, 70s, 80s of... let's do everything in a very rational, positivist, machine-like way.
Mm-hmm.
So really, that was harder for me than what I've been doing in recent years. I've really been unlearning that and trying to become human again.
But from your point of view, it makes things more fun and more usable and generally makes for a better result.
It does make for a better result. I mean, it's not just about things being fun or pleasant. It's about efficiency at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
and making things possible that weren't necessarily possible when you had the wrong focus.
Mm-hmm.
Different projects need different types of techniques. There's a whole range of techniques that you can use, and one of the things that I'm going to try and explore when I talk at the conference is how it's wrong to think that every project is alike and
mm-hmm.
therefore you should approach it in the same way. I did a project recently where an organisation wanted to replace a web application that they had and they wanted to make it more better used by people because people weren't using it very much.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when I started to talk to them about usability techniques, they found it rather hard to understand that these would actually lead to a measurable business benefit. It's only as you go through a project with people that it gradually becomes obvious how doing things like doing usability testing with real people is really the only rational way of finding out whether a system is usable or not.
Mm.
And so we did that. We used traditional usability testing techniques in a usability lab, and the customers were very, very happy with the result.
Presumably they were worried, as many people are worried, that adding usability tests might mean that you got it wrong in terms of how you designed the system in the first place.
Well, that's another problem. Yes, that's another problem, and that's certainly a problem with working with IT people from a traditional background, and also working with designers. Web designers, for example, these are people who've been trained to think of themselves as experts, who the customer must go to, and they will get they will provide them with the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for people to let go of that idea and to realise that you will get the best answer by working together with the end user. You may get, particularly if you're a good systems designer or graphic designer, whatever it might be, you might get a good result working on your own, using your own expertise, but you get a better result working with end users throughout the process.
And is it more expensive?
No. I think some work has been done on this, but not really enough to give very reliable answers. But in my experience, it's actually cheaper because there's less rework that needs to be done. You're more likely to get that wonderful thing, the right requirements, or at any rate, you're less likely to get to start building a system with the wrong requirements in mind. Obviously, there's a small cost associated with doing things like usability testing, but it's very small.
Relative to the size of the whole project.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, people come along to your talk at the conference, and what are they going to get from your session?
They're going to hear some more of the types of prejudices and personal views that I've been airing with you today. But they're also going to get an overview of some of the methods that have come out of the human-computer interaction community over the last 10, 20 years. They're going to hear my view on how that fits together with systems engineering. And I'm going to give quite a lot of pointers into the literature so that people will know where to go for more information about these things.
And there is plenty of information out there. It's not some black art where you just have to know the right person.
No, but the books that deal with these things are surprisingly little known, and the rest of the academic literature as well, to people in mainstream information systems departments, surprisingly little known. So I hope there'll be some information there that's useful for people.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say about your talk or why you're giving it? Actually, why are you giving this talk? Why this?
Because I like the sound of my own voice. Why am I giving this particular talk? Because it's really, it's something that I'm passionate about, the user-centred approach to design and analysis. I've been trying to make sense in my mind for the last quarter of a century. What is this thing, systems analysis? And I think with the help of these techniques, I'm starting to get the hang of it now.
And so now you're in a position to pass it on to other people.
Exactly.
And you said it was your prejudices, but it's not really your prejudice. This is based on pretty solid experience, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is, yes,
You've
as I said.
Been working in this field for...
Well, 25 years or so, yes. So.
And big projects?
Big projects, small projects and medium-sized projects, yes.
In, as you said, public sector financial sector. This is not lightweight stuff.
No, it's not. It works on small projects, but equally it works on the big ones.
It sounds really exciting.
It is.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Judy.